Faith, 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 just a little bit of faith. And so this morning also, Bob was telling a story about Jesse James, but this fellow was riding his motorcycle in the mountains, and he went around this curve, and he wasn't watching himself, and he went over the side. And he was flailing around, and then he heard his bike crash at the bottom, and he grabbed onto this tree. He finally looked up and said, "Help, help, anybody up there?" And pretty soon, voice came back, "Yes, I'm up here. Who are you?" "I'm God." And he said, "And can you help me?" He says, "Yeah, I have faith." He said, "Oh, I got tons of faith." "Any, help, help, anybody else up there?" Oh, God told him to let go of the tree. He says, "Help, help, anybody else up there?" Perhaps we're hanging on to a tree this morning. And last result, we have to turn to God. But Romans 1 and 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live by faith." So oftentimes we take those statements about faith and not really dig into the fact of the word itself and what it is in Scripture. And this morning we'll just barely touch the hem of the garment relative to those reference that we'll give you. But nevertheless, notwithstanding, all is foundational with the Lord Jesus. Faith is, God tells us what faith is in Hebrews 11. He says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So what is faith to you? You know, it's a word. We say we have our faith in the Lord Jesus, and that's good. But the thing is, faith is really the assurance of things hoped for. You hope to go to heaven because of what the Lord Jesus said. Your faith reality is the deed to eternal life. Just like a deed to an evidence of a piece of real estate, your faith is the deed to your eternal estate from God. So we can look forward to that because God said so. By faith we accept that God said so, that "I will come again, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And Paul says in Corinthians, "While we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So the faith that we have is on the things we cannot see, so to speak, because the fact that the Lord has the charge of them. And of course, in reality, faith is taking God at his word and asking no questions. Because when we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we had to take God at his word that he would save us, which he fulfilled his portion. Faith is, Hebrews 11 also tells us, without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So in our faith, we need to diligently seek the Lord and inquire of him that which he would have us to grow in. We'll touch a couple of spots here a little bit later about growth in faith. But faith is knowing that God causes things to work together for good to those that love God. Well, as most of you know, a couple of weeks ago I had my car stolen. And I don't know if that was for good, at least not yet, I don't know. But it's gone. And so faith does not believe that all things are good, or that all things work well. So we have to accept how things go with the Lord in his own time. It, however, does believe that all things, good or bad, work together for good to those that love God. So whether it's good or bad, it will, according to God's word, work together for our good when we take him by faith. Of course, faith in itself has two sides. One side has to do with the intellect. It's intellectual conviction of Jesus Christ is God. We had to accept that Jesus Christ was God before we could turn to him, knowing that he died on the cross for us, being the Son of God. The other side has to do with the will. It is a volitional surrender of will to Jesus Christ. So that's a part of our faith, when we surrender to Jesus, to let him to come and save our souls. And of course, we can see a picture of that in Thomas, when doubting Thomas, when he wasn't there, when Jesus came after he was resurrected and said he wasn't going to believe it was Jesus was resurrected unless he could stick his hand in his side. And of course, after Jesus came the next time around, then Thomas was there. And so when he was there, then we can see that my Lord, he says, my Lord and my God. My Lord means a volitional surrender. When we voluntarily surrendered our soul to the Lord, that was a volitional act, a personal choice, and moving to him. Then when he said, my God, he also had the intellectual conviction. And of course, together with these two, you have the saving faith. John 20 and 31 says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and believing ye might have life through him, through his name. And this is saving faith is an intellectual conviction that Jesus is God. So when we believe the Lord Jesus, we had to have an understanding on our inside that he is the one. Volitional faith surrenders to him as Lord or master of your life. So when we give ourselves to Jesus, we gave ourselves to him for a tool, if you please, to be used in his own way, in his own time, in his own place, that he would pick, that we might raise him up and give praise to the Lord because of our faith in him. By faith, the mind trusts in God, and the heart responds to the love of God. And then, of course, the person will submit to the commands of God, because we respond as wanting to please the Father, please the Son, and be in full fellowship with him. And then, of course, when that all happens, then the life obeys in the service of God. So our faith is not just a short stop of getting there. It's a case that when we get there, we have a lot more to react to and follow up with in that small act of turning ourselves volitionally over to the Lord and intellectually accepting the fact of God's word and what Jesus said, that it's true and it's for us and we need to stand in it. Faith is a paradoxical, which means it's yea and nay almost in the same statement. This faith goes beyond reason. Do you understand all that God does for you, when he does it and why he does it? And also, it believes without understanding why. My grandson, when he was younger, about so high, he'd be around where I was working and so forth, and every time he'd say, why, Grandpa? Why, Grandpa? And we don't say, why, God, do we? We accept it as it comes to us. And so as we do so, we can see a picture of that as Paul and Silas in prison saying to the Lord. And this faith exalts, tribulation exalts glory. In Romans 5, where it says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. So this tribulation is our opportunity to be gloried in the Lord. And I'm reading a book now that's rather gory, but it's the fact of wars that went on in Syria and so forth. And this young person was 13 years old when that comes onto the scene here. And they spent months in a bomb shelter because the bombs and so forth were all around them. But they also knew the Lord as their Savior and trusted in him, though they were locked. Or one time it blew the door shut, they couldn't get out and so forth and so on. So faith is a great tool as long as we let God do the work. We just are there to do and be as he wants us to be. And this faith also chooses to endure ill treatment. You think about Moses, what did he say? He was willing to give up his position with the king and take the tribulation of the saints, and as he was got away from the castle. And of course, it's all in accepts all things as part of the will of God. So we accept by faith all things as part of the will of God, even those, as I mentioned earlier, that are bad that happens to us or the good that happens to us. We should accept them as a part of the will of God for our life. Paul says in Philippians 1, he says, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel." And of course, when Paul wrote that, we have to remember that Paul accepted everything that came his way for good. He accepted as being good in his life. We must remember that we're not born with this faith. It comes from hearing the word of God. Romans 10 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." This is why we're commanded to preach the gospel to every creature. We give them the word of God. If nothing else, you know, I can tell you all day long stories about my life and what the Lord has done and so forth, but if the gospel and the word of God isn't there, God needs that and uses that to reach souls for Christ. So whenever we have opportunity to testify, we should always include the scripture. You don't have to tell them where it is necessarily, but include the scripture in our testimony. And in Romans 10 says in 13, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." How then, in verse 14, "How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher?" Now, you may not claim to be a preacher, but by your life, and according to Acts chapter 1, you shall be witnesses unto Judea and Samaria and utter postmark of the earth. And of course, Jerusalem being first, that was there where they lived. And that's where we began our testimony, is where we live. We have to live and walk and act like someone that knows the Lord and cares about our neighbors along the way, because the scripture, of course, commands us that we love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, you think about all those things. Well, is it important? Is faith important? Well, in Ephesians 6, and if you want to turn there, we're going to stay there a little bit this morning. Ephesians 6:16 says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." So in 6, and beginning in verse 10, 6 of Ephesians verse 10, says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." Here we see that we're being told, which we readily, at least I readily acknowledge, that we're living in a place and a time when they were against the principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world. But in this portion, there is no place that we are to attack. It's all to stand fast, and stand in, of course, in the armor of God. I try to compare this to back in Joshua, when he told them to go and march around the city 7 times, and the armor. Here, we can't recognize, we can't see the armor of God. We only take these words as for face value, so that we should have our loins girt about with truth. Well, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." So we should have the Lord Jesus with us all the time. Then the breastplate of righteousness, that's protection for your heart and your part of your body. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, so you can move about and run if necessary. And that was one thing in this book. They had to always be ready to run because they didn't know when the big bombs were coming when they were out and about from their bomb shelter. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you quench all the fire darts of the wicked. I went to a camp out in Colorado with Bill Morgan one time, and the fellow that was teaching the lesson at the, I forget if it was breakfast or which one, but he got up to do his devotion, and he put on this catcher's pad on his front, and he got him a mitt, and he reached over the other hand, and he got some darts, real pointed darts. And he gave them to this one boy, and he says, "Now, step back there a little bit and throw them at me." And so as he did so, of course, he used his mitt to stop the darts, but he was protected by faith that they weren't going to hurt him in any way. And of course, that, they weren't wicked, except that they were wicked looking in this case. And it pictured what we have in Christ when we put all those things to work in our life, and having faith enough to stand as the Lord allows these fiery darts of the wicked to come our way, because they could and will until Jesus comes for us. And of course, last but not least there, this helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, and which is the Word of God. So the helmet of salvation then protects the head. And so we have all those things in our behalf that we might move onward and upward with the Lord by our side, being armed in the armor of God. And it's Christian warfare. It's a spiritual conflict. As he names all these armors, he really emphasizes the faith, shield of faith. We, in Romans 8:37, he says, "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." So through faith we are conquerors through him. So in the importance of faith is seen that you cannot be saved without faith. Scripture says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." So we have to have faith to be saved. You cannot live victorious over the world without faith. 1 John 5 says, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So those around us that we have to deal with and work around sometimes, these will overcome their influence on us, will overcome their railing on us, whatever it is, all by our faith. And you cannot please God without faith. We've already had that. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So we recognize that by faith we can come to God. Of course, when? Well, James in 1:6 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering." So when we talk to God, do we really believe it? I think about this little old lady. She had this big hill behind her house, and she didn't like it out there. And she read or heard the scripture that you pray that God will move mountains. So she got down and asked the Lord to move that hill. Well, she got up and looked out the window. She said, "I knew you wouldn't do it anyway." No faith. No faith in the reality of God's word. And I don't know that that mountain had to do, at least in my life, it has to do more with situations rather than it does, so to speak, dirt. Because the Lord has and will do the thing. We cannot have peace with God without faith. Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we have this peace within us as we move about, that we can come here freely every Sunday morning or whenever we come, and through the week as well. And we do so by faith, knowing that we are before God just as if we had never sinned, because the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary cross for our sins. And of course, you cannot have peace with God without faith, and you cannot have joy without faith. Peter 1:8 says, "Whom having not seen, ye love; in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, you receive, or you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul." And we're looking for that end of our faith, aren't we? Looking for him to save us and take us on out of this world. I got an email just last night from a young man that thinks a little different in some areas, but he says, "We're going to be taken. We're going to go to heaven one of these days," because he's heard that China is fixing to have a fight with the United States of America, at least hit some of their bases over in the Far East. But nevertheless, whether those things come or they don't come, we do know that we have the peace with God and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are made right without sin before the Lord, not by works, but rather instead that justified by faith in Jesus Christ. We're made pure and through Jesus Christ. So as a result of that, we move down to where we, as then in this physical body that we dwell, should live by faith. Paul says in Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So we live by faith. Now when I say we, I think of your own look in the mirror there this morning, and do I live by faith? Do I really walk by faith? And as the Lord directs us, he will guide us in and through with our faith as we listen to the Holy Spirit that dwells within. We're made righteous by faith. In Romans 10 says the end of the law is righteousness to everyone that believeth. So because we're made righteous, because we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, Scripture tells us he that made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So we're made righteousness in God through Christ. Of course, Christ dwells in your heart by faith. Ephesians, as we had some Ephesians this morning in 3 and 17, says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. So you're attached by this faith because Christ dwells within in the form of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit also was received by faith in Galatians 3:2. This only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law and or by hearing of faith. So we know that we got this faith because we heard the Word of God, believed the Word of God, and volitionally gave ourselves to the Lord at that time. And then Paul also says in 14th of Romans, whatsoever is not of faith of sin, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So faith is important because it honors God, and God always honors faith. He will stand before you and guide you and direct you as you look to him. Now, if we want to turn to Matthew chapter 14, we're going to break down a little bit the picture. Remember, Peter and disciples were out on the water following feeding of the thousands there on shore, and Jesus went up the mountain to pray. And then as they were going across the sea there, the wind came up. And as it came up, they were being tossed and turned, and Jesus knew their trouble, so he came walking on the water. As he came walking on the water, we begin to see Peter step into the picture here, because this is a picture of Peter's spiritual growth. And in that essence, sometimes we go through things and have to lean on the Lord, and it's part of our own spiritual growth. But he was a man of little faith, because when Jesus told him, come on and walk on the water. And so then Jesus got out of the boat and headed for Jesus. Peter got out of the boat and headed for Jesus. And then he looked at the sea and began to sink. So Peter must have made him really thrilled to thought of doing the impossible when Jesus said to him, come. But Peter did the impossible thing. He walked on the water by faith, believing that Jesus told him to come, he would get him there, so to speak. And we have to be ready to walk on the water and go and be in the place that God wants us to be. Sometimes it's just through delays. He has us delayed for a reason, that we will be either safe or have opportunity to share the word during that delay wherever we might be. But the second thing Peter did, the conceivable thing. Because when he headed out there to see Jesus, he saw the storm and perhaps had a second thought. He doubted for a moment. He lost sight of Jesus. He may have turned and started back to the boat. Jesus in Luke 9 says, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Well, he wasn't put his hand to the plow, but he was walking by faith for the Lord. And then he doubted because of all that was around him, whether God could control that, so to speak. And then, of course, Peter did the natural thing. He feared the destruction when he saw the storm. And, of course, doubt always breeds fear, no matter whether it's a storm on the water or in life, in our home, where we might be, our activities. My little dog, she can hear thunder many, many miles before we hear it. And she is afraid of thunder. And so it looks like it's going to be a rain. She'll be under the couch because she wants to get away from that thunder. So she did the natural thing to get away from it. And Peter here did the natural thing. As he had doubt, he did the expected thing. When he didn't have a hold of Jesus anymore, he began to sink. He failed the test. And in our life, if we look around us and doubt something or other, we could begin to sink. And we need to maintain strength in order that we don't fail the test. Of course, Peter really did the right thing again because he prayed. He said, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus set forth his hand and caught him. Once more, he made contact with Jesus by faith. So Peter did the possible thing. He walked on the water and success, a little faith. This is the little faith because Jesus told him, O ye of little faith. And the picture of it, we see that he, in turning back to Jesus, had adequate faith to turn to the one that could be a help to him. And we also must realize that our faith should be strong enough to reach out and ask for help. Many times people won't ask for help. And over in Europe, in days gone by when there was need, people just didn't ask for help because they were too big for that. So as we recap this picture, he started by faith, he walked on the water, he saw the storm and brought the second thought of doubt, produced fear, caused him to turn back perhaps, and brought failure. The main thing we see in the whole thing is you need a faith that is bigger than the elements that drag you down to defeat. Our faith has to be bigger than that in a bigger God and one that has a bigger plan for our life. So you can have big faith. The scripture, Jesus told back in Matthew that they pray and fasting, that you have big faith. There's the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding your faith on the word of God is how that we get to the point of having stronger faith. And of course, there again, we'll get, that's, he says, a half a grain of mustard seed shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now there's one more picture in scripture that we want to look at, and it's in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This is the raising of Lazarus. In this chapter, we see the faith of Martha in connection with the resurrection of her brother Lazarus, who was sick, and Martha and Mary sent for Jesus to come help him. But the story goes, you know, that he delayed coming to Lazarus until Lazarus was dead and in the tomb for 4 days. He knew that when Lazarus was going to die, and he went after he'd been in the tomb for 4 days. And then he came to raise him from the dead, and of course he found there, when he got there, limited faith, fundamental faith, and Martha, his only obstacle. Martha's faith was limited. She says, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. The death of Lazarus was the end of Martha's faith. She believed Jesus had the power to raise him from the dead, but her limited faith restricted the power of Christ to raise him from the dead. So he had the power to heal him, but not raise him from the dead. Limited faith is controlled by circumstances and motivates fear. When they went to the tomb, what was Martha afraid of? She didn't want to open the tomb because he stinks. He's been in there 4 days. But then, of course, Jesus talked to her, and she did give permission to do so. Martha's faith was fundamental. Remember when he first talked to her, your brother's going to rise from the dead? And she said, I'll know he's going to rise through the resurrection the last day. Now Martha here declared her fundamental faith in a great truth when Jesus said, I am resurrection and life. He had a power over death. But Martha evaded the question by stating her fundamental faith in her creed. It's not enough to believe in a creed. Only faith must go beyond your creed to the living power of the Christ that is working in your life and guiding you wherever you might go. Her faith with a limited power. And Jesus wept when they had all got there. He came to Lazarus, raised Lazarus from the dead, and found also this fundamental faith. Only unlimited faith came to Martha when she consented to have the stone move from the grave. Then she thought, well, it's really going to happen. The Lord Jesus is going to do something here. And of course, when Jesus ordered the stone and taken from the grave, she objected, but then she gave permission and they went. She had to wait and see and was not disappointed. Our faith is a wait and see. We don't know what day or where we're going to be when Jesus comes, but nevertheless, notwithstanding, we cannot hurry it. We can't change it, but she had to wait and see. Seeing, it's often been heard, seeing is believing, but that's not so. First, because believe and then you see. Faith cometh before sight. Martha's faith was no longer limited power of Christ, no limit, limited power of Christ. When she consented to have the stone removed, Jesus spoke, and Lazarus was raised up because he cried, Lazarus, come forth. So we shouldn't be satisfied with limited faith or fundamental faith only when we can have unlimited faith that pleases God and reveals his glory, which was revealed when Lazarus came forth from the grave. Now, I'd admonish you to take your Bibles when you have opportunity and turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and the last few verses, 32, 39 through 39. It's important that we come here and think on what they represented and so forth. Linger long that your faith may be strong in the Lord. It's a scripture. We get a view of history. Israel, the church, as written by faith in the blood of the saints. They worship by faith like Abel. They walked by faith like Enoch. They worked by faith as Noah, as he worked 120 years to build the ark. They lived by faith of Abraham. They governed by faith of Israel. They fought by faith of Joshua. And of course, the faith Joshua had in what the Lord says, just shout and the walls are going to come down, that took a lot of faith because they knew how those walls were built and what was in them and what had to happen. And then they conquered by faith as a Gideon when God, when he began to whittle down his army, got down just to a few, and those few, by God's power and strength, because of Gideon's faith, won the battle and subdued the enemy before them. And of course, they subdued kingdoms by faith like David, closed mouth like lions like Daniel, walked through the fire like the three Hebrew children, suffered by faith as Paul. And they died by faith as Stephen, who was the first Christian martyr. By faith, they were patient, suffering, courageous in battle, made strong in weakness, were victorious in defeat, and were more than conquerors by faith. So the question is, do you have faith? Do you have faith to save you? Do you have faith that God's on your side, that he dwells within you, that he's guiding your life, that he will not let anything happen to you? Because scripture says, the faith of the saints inspires us. We look to Jesus as our example of faith. And when we have faith, we're protected because of the Lord as he's there with us. So when we think about faith, it's a word, it's an important word, but there's many more verses that we can look at. It gives us a little more tentacles of what faith really is in our lives if you just take your Bible and watch for them as you go through. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for your guidance. We thank you for your presence. And we thank you that we can this day know that you're going before us, with us, and coming behind us. And may that which we leave behind be used of you to bring souls to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. I didn't turn it off.